Active Left by Mabel Wadsworth Center, an independent feminist nonprofit comprehensive healthcare provider in Bangor, Maine. Join us as we explore topics that impact our sexual and reproductive health and lives. Here's your host, Aspen Rulin. Aspen uses they/them pronouns and is our client and community advocate.
Hello and welcome back to our final episode of our Winter Access series. Today, we'll be chatting about access and abortion funds, and we have a very special guest. Not only do we have the executive director of SAFE, Maine's abortion fund, but we have longtime friend, former Mabel staff member, and original host of Reproductive Left, Abby Strout Bench. Abby, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Aspen, for having me on the show. I'm really excited to talk to you about abortion funds.
I am so excited for you to be here. And before we dig into questions, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about SAFE? You know, things like, what does the acronym stand for, assuming it's an acronym, how long it's been around, things like that.
Sure. So, SAFE is an acronym and stands for Safe Abortions for Everyone. And we were founded in 1989. So we've been around for 35 years. For most of that time, it has been a completely volunteer-led organization. In November, I became the first staff member of the abortion fund. And what we do is we fund people's abortions for folks who can't afford it. And we also offer gift cards to help offset the costs, sorry, the additional costs of accessing care. So help cover gas, or some people use it for an Uber ride or pads or pain meds for after their abortion. So different things that they need. Also, it can offset lost wages if people had to take the day off. So we offer $50 gift cards in addition to covering the cost of the procedure or a portion of the procedure.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's who we are.
Well, we'll start with a big question then. How do you feel abortion funds are important when it comes to the topic of access?
Abortion funds are really critical. They play a critical role in the landscape of abortion access, and they have for decades. And that's because Even before the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe, we had the right to abortion, but that didn't mean everybody was able to access it. So abortion funds were created to help ensure that in addition to being legal, people could actually get the care they needed by covering the costs and supporting costs of additional barriers like transportation is one of the big things that we see in the state of Maine, at least. And just to give you an idea, in the year following Dobbs, abortion funds across the country, so collectively, abortion funds financially supported 102,855 individuals seeking abortion in the U.S. So that's a lot of people that would not have been able to access the care that they needed. And I think I just want to emphasize that this, while the need is increasing because of the restrictions and the abortion access crisis that we're witnessing in our country, abortion funds have been needed ever since ever since Roe was passed, really. Shortly after Roe was passed in 1976, the Hyde Amendment was passed, and it blocked Medicaid funding from covering abortion. And so that created huge barriers for poor folks to access the abortion care they needed. And so we've been around for a long time and provide essential service in communities across the country. And each abortion fund is really led by the community that it serves. So in each state, you're going to find an abortion fund or multiple abortion funds similar to SAFE that understand their community needs because each of our communities are different. Accessing abortion in a rural community is really different than accessing it in a city. And accessing abortion care in a state with restrictions is very different than accessing abortion care in a state like Maine that has supportive laws. But all of our states have barriers. There isn't a state in the country that there aren't barriers for accessing abortion care. And so that's why funds exist, to help navigate those barriers.
Yeah. And I think, I do not quote me any listeners on this data point, but you mentioned that every state has barriers, even states with, you know, protective laws around abortion. Last I had looked, I'll admit, I don't know how updated this data point is, but something like 89% of people capable of getting pregnant live in a county that does not have an abortion clinic. And that is a huge access barrier, even if you don't live somewhere as rural as Maine. Like, even if you live somewhere that's more populated, you know, distance can still, like, that's just one example of a barrier that can exist.
Yeah. That sounds like the right statistic to me as well, Aspen. And I also think the landscape is shifting. So I think it's important for people to understand the difference between the in-clinic procedure and medication abortion, because access to medication abortion is increasing across rural communities, especially, and that's true in the state of Maine. So one, people can access medication abortion through telehealth, and they don't have to leave their home. They can have the medication shipped directly to their home. All three of the providers in the state of Maine offer medication abortion that way. But still, if someone needs or chooses the in-clinic procedure, they have to get to Bangor, Augusta, or Portland. And that's only three counties out of our 16 that have in-clinic procedures that are open. You know, I think another piece that's important for folks to understand regarding access is those are clinics that are publicly available, right? They make themselves known as abortion providers. They accept new patients as for just abortion procedures. Additionally, there are private practice doctors that do abortion care for their patients throughout the state.
Yep. And that is, but again, it's one of those things that if that's not your provider, then that won't be a resource to you. Let's take a quick pause for a Mabel's Fast Fact.
Gender-affirming hormone therapy is not reliable as contraception. If you're trans, taking hormones, and having the right kind of sex that can cause pregnancy, talk to a trusted provider about your options.
And we're back. Abby, who would you say abortion funds are for?
They're for anybody who needs an abortion and can't afford one, or needs help. And that can be a lot of us. About one in three Mainers right now are struggling to cover the cost of their household needs. So that's a lot of us that could use help with covering the cost of an abortion. Luckily in Maine, MaineCare covers abortion, so we don't have the Medicaid block like other states do, and or ban. And also private insurances that are based in Maine cover abortion, so that helps. But were you going to add in
I'm just saying yes, because you know how excited I was about that bill last year.
Yeah, it is really awesome. But then, so those are the folks that also we can help with gift cards, because that still they have to get to their appointments, still they need to take time off work, et cetera. So additionally, I think abortion funds tend to help and support people that face an intersection of marginalization, right? Mm-hmm. Because those are the folks that face the most barriers. So for people in Maine, so new Mainers, Black, Indigenous people of color, queer folks, and folks, young folks, and folks living in rural communities are some of the folks that face intersecting oppressions and often could benefit from abortion funds. And across the country, a lot of abortion funds are led by these communities. So they're led by the communities they serve and have deep understanding of the barriers that we all face.
Absolutely. What has been the most exciting or rewarding part of working for an abortion fund for you?
One thing that's different about Safe Maine that, so if folks are familiar with abortion funds, this might seem a little different, is that we don't have a direct call line. So abortion seekers are not calling us for funding. How we operate is we have relationships with each of the clinics. So Planned Parenthood, Maine Family Planning, and Mabel Wadsworth Center. Additionally, we have a relationship with the Levering Health Center, which is in New Hampshire, but sees folks traveling from Maine, and Abortion on Demand, which is an online provider that offers telehealth. And so we offer block grants to these clinics, and they distribute the funding as needed to the folks calling them and making appointments. This is a huge benefit to folks seeking abortion in Maine, because in one call, they can make their appointment and get their funding. So they're not having to make multiple phone calls. But that does mean that we don't interact directly with the folks that we're funding. And I'm telling you all this because the rewarding piece is knowing that we are ensuring that folks are getting the care they need. And I know what that means because for 6 years in my role at Mabel Wadsworth Center, I was a clinical assistant and I met hundreds of people accessing abortion and understood their stories and understood what would be different in their lives if they couldn't access the abortion care they needed that day. And so I have a deep knowledge of every time we give out those block grants, these are the who we're supporting. But we don't have that same direct, like, I don't get to hear their stories directly, but I still know it. I'm so glad that we can reduce the barriers and be able to offer the direct block grants. And I also hope and believe that every time somebody finds out there's funding for their abortions, they feel supported from their community members, because our community are, you know, funds Safe and then Safe funds people in our community. We couldn't function as an organization if people weren't donating to Safe for us to then distribute to the folks needing abortions. So I hope everybody knows their community has their back, that we support them, and really trust people to make the decisions about their bodies. And that's what's rewarding to me about working in this field.
I completely feel that. And I think, a lot of people, because, when someone needs in Maine, when someone needs that abortion fund support, like you said, they get to have a call saved. They don't have to go try to coordinate that themselves. The clinics are taking care of it for them. So not as many people are aware just of Safe existing as it is. But every person who I have ever told about Safe has just been like so delighted to know that that is a thing that we have, that that is, you know, I mean, like you said, it really shows the community care. So what say your thing.
I was just going to say that, I feel like, really the leaders of Safe have been these unsung heroes of the abortion movement, because they've been for 35 years funding abortions for Mainers. And a lot of folks don't know about that work. So it's amazing. I feel like they were both quiet and super bold in the work that they did for such a long time.
Agreed. What is something you wish more people knew about abortion funds?
Primarily, I just wish more people knew we existed. I think I've named some of the things already in the interview that people knew that we've been needed for a very long time, that the overturn of Roe was not a moment that triggered the needs of abortion funds, that abortion funds have existed throughout the country for decades because of barriers that have existed. I think that's both to say funds have a lot of experience and to say if you're new to understanding the how abortion rights were stripped from our communities, there's a lot of history there and not just the moment of overturning Dobbs. So yeah, so knowing that we're out there, that we've been there for a long time, and that while funds did get a boost in donations right after the Dobbs decision, the donation flow is starting to fade out a little bit. And the demand for our resources is only increasing. So just a friendly reminder that abortion funds across the country are continuing to be in need of support during this time.
I have to say, and I think I saw that the SAFE Instagram account shared about this as well. I love that Olivia Rodrigo, with her current like concert tour, is fundraising for the National Network of Abortion Funds. Like, that is so cool. Let's take one more quick fast fact break.
Most STIs are asymptomatic, both for people with penises and vaginas. Get tested.
Abby, as a final question to you that you did already just answer, but I'm going to give you a second to say it again. What can people do to support abortion funds like SAFE?
I'll start with letting folks know that they can donate to abortion funds. So you can find us at safemaine.org. There's also the National Network of Abortion Funds. And through their organizing, you can connect to a local fund in your state, or I bet we have a lot of Mainers listening, but if you have connections to another state, you can learn about the different abortion funds across the country and what each group is facing. Right now is fundathon season. So funds across the country, including SAFE, are hosting a series of events and online fundraisers, and most of our donations can be matched by the National Network of Abortion Funds. So this is, if you want to give to abortion funds, this is such a good moment to give, knowing that you'll double the impact of the amount you donate. And also with that, we will be having some pop-up events across the state. So please you can also follow us on social media to come and meet us and learn more about our work. And then the other thing I would say is to help raise awareness about abortion funds, because I'm not sure if I already said this today, but there are some reproductive rights organizations that just have a lot more name recognition, like Planned Parenthood. Independent clinics like Mabel's and Maine Failing Planning and abortion funds don't have that same recognition. We're not always immediately thought of when big events happen. So the more our community members can do to just raise awareness about the fact that we exist and we're serving our community is incredibly helpful. So those are the two things: donate and raise awareness.
And I'll add a note on the donate front, because of course this episode won't come out until after the very cool karaoke fundraiser event that I will be going to and embarrassing myself at to help fundraise for SAFE. But you know, if you're someone who you're like, I think SAFE is so cool, but I don't really have donate money, like I don't really have that, you can also like organize a fundraiser. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. Like if you don't have, karaoke connections to do something like that. I know something I've done in the past to fundraise for abortion clinics and abortion funds is like make art and raffle that off. So if you're like, oh, I would love to support financially, but I can't, there are clever ways that you probably can.
Thank you for adding that. And then I do want to add one more thing, which is volunteering. And we are in a transition as an organization because I am the new executive director. I just started in November, but we're starting to build volunteer support for the organization and volunteer roles. So if folks are interested in getting more involved, I will find a role for you.
That is very exciting. Thank you so much again for joining me today, Abby. Thank you also to our listeners who joined us, and we'll see you again for our summer season.